Hey everyone, just a quick check-in before we get to today's episode. We're dealing with extraordinary times for our planet, for our country, our communities, and our families. While the COVID-19 pandemic continues to grow and spread, a lot of us are feeling anxiety and fear, and for good reason. But the one thing I know about the outdoor community is that we are strong people. We're resilient. We're adaptable. We care about each other. And most importantly, we're really good problem solvers. So I'm putting together a community episode, and I'd like to hear from you. I want to talk about solutions. I'd like to hear what you're doing to take care of yourself, ways you're working to take care of your families and loved ones, as well as ways you're helping your community. So if you'd like to participate, go ahead and record your responses on your phone or whatever recording device you have available. Try and keep your recording succinct, maybe a minute or two, and email them to me at thefernline@gmail.com. I'll be taking submissions through this Thursday, March 26th, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. All right, let's get to the show. Hey friends, this is Evan Phillips, and you're listening to The Fern Line, a podcast about the lives of mountain climbers. So we're about a month out from the proper launch of season 4, but because we're all doing our best to stay isolated right now due to the COVID-19 pandemic, I thought it would be a good time to engage more with the community and get some content out for you to enjoy in this unprecedented and challenging time. So today's episode is a straight-up trip report. A short and enjoyable conversation with Pacific Northwest-based alpinist Nick Sweeney, where he describes in detail a recent ascent of the fearsome and rarely climbed Yoakum Ridge of Wai East, better known as Mount Hood. The Cascades of North America are a beautiful and diverse range of mountains. These peaks, which range from sharp granitic towers to glaciated and crumbly volcanoes, extend all the way from southern British Columbia through Washington and Oregon and all the way down to Northern California. And if you live in the Portland, Oregon area, there's one Cascade peak that dominates the horizon, Wai East, or Mount Hood as it's commonly known. The mountain, which is a dormant volcano, is a literal playground for outdoor enthusiasts, from skiers, snowboarders, hikers, and of course, mountaineers. Although Wai East is climbed thousands of times every year up its easier routes, some lines offer a more challenging experience, like the Elliott Glacier or Sandy Glacier headwalls. But no technical route is more sought after and perhaps feared than the Yoakum Ridge. First climbed in 1959 by Fred Becky and Co., this west-facing, serrated knife-edge ridge, which splits the Reed and Sandy Glaciers, is a route for experienced alpinists, as it requires glacier travel skills in addition to advanced snow and ice climbing techniques. The ridge is made up of three distinct gendarmes, or towers, composed of crumbly, volcanic rock. The top of the route is blocked by a massive, rime-coated headwall, which is often skirted to the left or the right. Of the unique conditions needed to climb the Yoakum, Jeff Thomas, author of Oregon High, a climbing guide, writes, quote, "Rotten rock towers guard its crest. They cannot be climbed unless they're covered with a thick layer of rime ice." He goes on to say, "Contrary to what common sense would dictate, rime ice is more solid than the rock on the Yoakum Ridge. The catch is that the rime is often impossible to protect, so take your ice tools, pickets, and other technology. But know that on this route, the old advice still holds true. The leader must not fall." So it was with this mindset that Pacific Northwest-based alpinist Nick Sweeney and Kyle Terry set off to climb the Yoakum in early March of this year. I recently got a chance to speak with Nick about the climb, which turned out to be a significant and once-in-a-lifetime experience.
over the years, I've definitely taken a look at it in the guidebooks and online, certainly read every trip report I've ever been able to find on it. But again, had always kind of written it off as just something that was too big and too scary. It just seemed, you know, I don't like being gripped. So right. I kind of had written it off. But over the last couple of years, I've really built my range of alpine climbing skills. And it actually was my good friend and partner, Kyle, who brought the idea to me only a few days before we ended up climbing it. There had been some recent activity on social media, and it looked like some people had climbed it and found fairly good conditions. Kyle texted me while I was out doing some scrambling, and he suggested that we go in only about 3 days' time. And with Kyle, anytime I end up climbing with him, we end up climbing something that pushes me and I'm proud of, so it's a pretty easy thing to say yes to. And a couple days later, I was in the car after work driving to Mount Hood Timberline parking lot.
Cool. Well, just go ahead and take me through the climb. Take me through the experience, kind of just maybe starting from the parking lot.
Well, we had a very luxurious night in Kyle's van, so I appreciated that. It's much better than the SUV bivy that I'm used to.
Right.
But we left the van at 3 a.m. and it was super icy, almost straight out of the parking lot, which actually was a really good sign for this route.
Right.
But it makes that kind of easy hiking terrain really exhausting. But we just kind of cruised up it, got up to Illumination Saddle to gear up. It was sustained wind. I think we kind of made a poor choice on where to put our gear on. I got blown over once, and we each almost lost some personal items in the wind, but managed to keep it together. From there, dropped down onto the Reed, which is a pretty easy down climb, and crossed the Reed Glacier toward Yokum Ridge. And at this point, the sky was just starting to light up, just those first notes of light in the sky. So we were really having the ridge presented to us as we crossed the Reed Glacier. Cruised across there, thankfully no crevasse issues to deal with, and before we knew it, we were climbing an access ramp onto the ridge itself on some 50 to 60 degree ice. Things were really icy, which again is super important for the Yokum because the whole route depends on being covered in rime ice, basically to glue the ridge itself together, because all the rock underlying the ice is just fragmented and awful, not the kind of stuff you want to be climbing on or even putting weight on.
So like you're saying, it sounds like it's just a very condition-dependent route.
For sure. You would never want to be up there in any higher winds than we had, because the ridge is sharp enough you could get blown off of it. It also has to be extremely cold to keep the rime ice together enough that you can climb it, but also climb below it, which is something we dealt with, was just ice fall falling on top of us from way higher up. But very important to have cold, icy conditions for this route, to say the least.
Cool. Yeah, so just go ahead and tell me about the climbing.
Sure. It was really enjoyable, easy climbing at that point. We were simul-climbing and actually placing pretty good ice screws at this point, which was comforting. Cruised on up, and Kyle was able to find a really nice ice cave that got us out of the wind for a moment for a belay. And this was at the base of what's called the First Gendarme. And that's known as being some of the hardest and scariest climbing on the route. So when Kyle volunteered to lead out from that belay, I was pretty pleased, happy to hang out and feed the rope out to him and top rope at least this first pitch to see what we were getting ourselves into. It was pretty wild seeing him traversing out, to the right and then climbing up a steep section of rime ice where I could see his shadow through the feathers of rime ice itself above me. And the sun was just starting to come up, so the whole alpine environment was really coming into view at that point. But that pitch mellowed off after an initial crux to 60-degree ice, followed it quickly, and then we were looking at the first real serious climbing on the route, which was about a 20 to maybe 30-foot boulder problem of rime ice. And I'm a big believer in swapping leads. I hate giving away leads, so I decided I better take this one. And I think Kyle was happy to hand the rope off to me as well. But it was good that he was below me because it was a team effort climbing this thing. I was having to clean hundreds of pounds of ice off of it to find any decent pick placements. But what I learned is that if you swing more than once or twice in the same spot, the whole placement disintegrates. So you have to swing, test it, really get those sharp pulls to see if the tool is going to hold enough weight for you to kind of balance upward and just commit. And so this isn't waterfall ice climbing in the Rockies or in Highlight or anything like that, where you use perfect A-frame technique and you're shaking out. You're really distributing your weight between your tools and your foot placements. So pretty exciting stuff, especially because the screws were not good.
Right.
I was really hoping to get something solid in, but I just never got anything that I was totally pleased with on that pitch. Thankfully got through that, really had to take my time to make it feel reasonable, but pulled up through that section and climbed to the top of the first gendarme. And I kind of was, my anxiety was going up as I got closer to the top of that tower, because I knew that the next step was to rappel off of it with a Rhyme bollard. And I had never used a bollard before. I felt almost like I had a hole in my Alpine resume never having to do that. But it also was nothing I'd ever sought out for pretty obvious reasons. It just seems horrifying. As many of you know, you just kind of chop a channel in a Tower of Rhyme and wrap your rope around it and rappel off. So thankfully, again, Kyle, always a gentleman, agreed to rappel first with a picket backup, and I was more than happy to let him go first. So it was terror-inducing watching him start to go over and the rope kind of settling into the channel and making some scary noises, but he lived, so I pulled the picket back up and made the rappel, and then we were on the south side of the ridge, thankfully in the sunshine for a minute, and then I had to climb another really scary pitch with no protection other than one picket about halfway up. It was easy up to where I placed the picket, but from there, which was about 20 meters into the pitch, from there to the top, which was maybe 50 or 55 meters, it was just full on vertical Rhyme ice. Again, cleaning hundreds of pounds off of it, just trying to fish my way up through these tentacles of really weak, terrifying ice. I think Fred Becky called them ice feathers, and that seemed to make a lot of sense, because you'd swing and you could feel your pick go through a hard layer and then a couple inches of really soft. And then if you were lucky, you'd blast through all that and get to another ice layer. Very tenuous for sure.
I'm looking at this old guidebook here, and they've got a really good aspect of the ridge. So at this point, were you at the second gendarme or below it?
So we climbed directly back up to the notch in the ridge right after the first gendarme. We were trying to stay true to what we considered the line, which is the ridge itself, as much as we could. The first ascent, when Fred Becky did it, he actually avoided almost all of the Rhyme towers by climbing on one side of the ridge or the other, but later on, people really straightened out the line and stayed true to the crest as much as possible. And that's where the most technical climbing is, which is always a plus if you're going to walk all the way up there.
Right. Cool. Yeah, just go ahead and keep going from there.
I was pretty harrowed after that pitch. It was pretty scary, and it took me at least an hour probably to lead that with all the cleaning and the limited protection. I really had to make sure I was being safe. So brought Kyle up to my stance in the sunshine up on the uphill side of that gendarme. And we had one more really hairy looking pitch to get across. It's a traversing pitch, almost no elevation gain at all, but the ridge is very serrated in this section right after the first gendarme.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to belay again as Kyle took lead on that. It started out with a pretty engaging down climb, and I use the word down climb pretty loosely here, but you had to get into a notch. Kyle, I watched him walk over to it and look down, and I couldn't hear him because of the wind, but I saw him kind of throw his arms up for a minute and starting to get a little worried about what exactly was going to happen, because we were at a real bad spot to bail from. But he ended up jumping down into the notch after a bit of down climbing, which was really exciting for me to belay.
Right.
But he jumped down and then climbed a nice mixed boulder problem out of this notch that we protected with pitons. And then from there, finished some scary knife edge Rhyme ice traversing. Finally got an anchor on the other side of that. once we got over there, finally had a really nice break to drink some water and slam down a goo packet. And from there, we took the rope off and were soloing for quite a ways on about AI 2 to 3 terrain, I would say. And that took us all the way to the top of the third gendarm. At that point, the ridge got really serrated again, and we knew we needed to make another rappel. And we ended up doing a full 60-meter rappel to the north this time to gain about another, I would call it another 50 to 60 degrees ice field. Mm-hmm. And I thankfully brought my Beale Escaper with me. I'd never used it before, at least not in the Alpine. And it was pretty exciting to be using it for the first time on a Rime Bollard. That was also the first Rime Bollard I had ever chopped. But very good tool for that scenario. Worked flawlessly and got us down and allowed us to retrieve our single rope from that 60-meter rappel. From there, we continued soloing again up to regain the ridge crest. Really fun kind of icy terrain, especially up near the ridge crest where it got really featured, and we got into some rime ice again that was actually better consistency since it was on the north side of the ridge. From there, we kind of were looking around because there's a lot of options on that upper buttress. There's all sorts of variations, and I don't think there's any of them that are unclimbed at this point. But we were in the sun, and all this rime ice above us was just baking. I took a couple pretty hard hits from ice at this point to my hands because I was holding my ice tools out in front of me in the slope. Mm-hmm. And so I was getting beamed. So we decided to keep moving, and we took the Fred Becky variation, which involves some traversing and down climbing to gain the famous Becky obvious gully. Any climbers in the Cascades will be intimately familiar with those obvious gullies, but we did find it. And there was a huge overhung rime tower over this whole gully. I mean, it probably overhung by 20 or 30 feet, and it was easily 100 feet tall. So we knew we needed to move pretty quickly through that section. We entered simul-climbing mode because the climbing was more technical, and we had that icefall hazard, and was able to place some good screws up through the gully. And from there, we essentially topped out the ridge itself. I can't claim the total integral descent because there was one more 100-foot-ish gully that would have taken us to the true top of Yokum Ridge. But at that point, we were basically standing in Luthold's Kular, and the icefall was really starting to ramp up with the wind and the sun. So we were happy to cruise on up to the summit ridge and then hightail it back down to the van.
Nice. So how long did the climb take from the car to the top?
From the car to the top, it was right at 13 hours, I believe. Yeah. We left the car at 3 a.m., so pretty good full day.
Yeah,
I think we were 15 and a half hours car to car.
Yeah, so it's pretty cruiser from the top, blasting back down, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's one of those times where you're up high and, you know, I live practically at sea level, so we were up at 10,000 feet, and so you just got to grind that out, and it was really windy, which made it not as enjoyable as it might have been otherwise, right. But other than that, it was essentially dangerous walking.
So how did it feel to get to the top?
It was honestly a huge relief in the moment. I was sweating pretty hard on a couple of the pitches we'd climbed, and with the icefall potential on that route, it was feeling pretty extreme at a couple points. But we topped out, and Kyle and I, we've been friends for years, shared a cool moment up on the ridge looking out over perfectly clear skies and visibility, and I kind of realized this would maybe be another route like Liberty Ridge where there was a big step forward in my thinking, because this isn't really a route that I thought I would ever actually climb. Kyle put it in a really good way to me that it's a once in a lifetime chance, maybe. So you just got to take it when it comes, and certainly took it and got the job done.
How often does that route get climbed on average in a year?
That's a great question. From my understanding, and I'm not really local to the Mount Hood area, so I won't claim to be as plugged in as some, I've heard some people say about once a year it gets climbed, often requiring multiple attempts. It's actually famous for needing multiple attempts to get the conditions right. This year has been kind of strange, and we've joked about being on the Yokum Ridge send train, if you can call it that.
Yeah.
Because there were two teams of two that climbed it a few days before us. So we were at least the third party to climb it this year, which is interesting because, again, it is pretty fearsome and rarely climbed. So it's cool to see people getting out and getting after it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like to me, after doing that and the other things you've been doing, it sounds like you're ready to come to Alaska and either climb one of the gnarly ridges on Mount Deborah or maybe the French Ridge on Mount Huntington.
Man, you know, when I was on some of the pitches on this route, I was thinking I'm never climbing Rime Ice again. But then afterwards, when we were walking down, I was telling Kyle, you know, I think I'm well prepared for the next time we go back to Peru.
Right.
But Alaska is certainly on the list of places I'd like to visit.
Yeah. Have you ever climbed in Alaska?
Never made it up. Yeah. I have lots of friends who tell me it's all the rage, as of course we all know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some friends up there now. I've made some new buddies ice climbing in Bozeman this winter that are visiting from the Alaska area. So I have kind of a home base and network up there now. So
yeah. What's next for you in the Cascades?
People always talk about all the potential of every climbing area. And I'm one of those people mostly climbing the classics right now. But there's a lot of route potential. There was a route recently put up on Sloan Peak. Couple of guys put up a really cool line and unfortunately had an accident on literally their last technical pitch. Were able to self-rescue, and then one of them did return with a different partner and connected that 1,000-foot plus ice climb into an existing route. So there's all sorts of potential. I think there's a lot of room for long ice climbs in the Cascades. The challenge is finding and getting to them.
You have your eye potentially on doing some Canadian Rockies climbing at some point in time?
Well, I like a lot of alpinists in North America, I've been drooling over Mount Robson for a while, and I know you and I have actually talked about that before, right? Over Instagram.
Right.
That is just such an incredibly wild and huge mountain. Climbing any route on that thing would be a joy. So I would like to make that happen.
All right, well, thanks for hanging out with me today. I hope you got as much out of Nick's stories as I did, and I hope you can apply some of his hard-earned alpine wisdom to your next trip in the mountains. Hey, it's great to be back with all of you. I've kind of missed doing the podcast the last couple months, and it's times like this where it kind of really hits home how important for me my community is, and I just really love getting to do the Fern Line, and I really appreciate all of you listening and being there. So I'm looking forward to getting some more content out here soon. And remember, if you want to participate in this new upcoming community episode that I'm putting together, yeah, please just record some thoughts and send them to me at thefernline@gmail.com. And again, I'm going to be taking submissions until this Thursday, March 26th. Until then, take care of yourselves, take care of your families, take care of your communities, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace out.